Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to What's Up. This is the podcast where I discuss the Chris Watts murder case. Thank you so much for joining today. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for the feedback and the support. It is greatly appreciated as well. Also, just a couple of quick things. I now have a Facebook group, so you can join in on the conversation and the discussion. I think it would really be a lot of fun and very interesting to go over some of the theories that I've put forth on this podcast, and we can talk about it. So the Facebook group is What's Up 2021. That's What's Up 2021 on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, some are, some aren't, but would love you to join the Facebook group. I also have a website, which is What's Up Now. That's WATTSUPNOW, whatsupnow.com. I am writing an ebook, and if you subscribe, I am very happy to give you an ebook absolutely free as soon as I'm done with it. So please join, and I'd love to give that to you for free as a thank you for being with me on this podcast. Okay, getting started. So in this episode, I want to talk about something that I found extremely disturbing, chilling, peculiar. And as you follow this story, you may say, well, what is she referring to? It could be any number of things. There's so many. Okay. But in this particular episode, I want to refer specifically to the driveway footage captured on Nate Trinistash's camera. So Nate Trinistash, as you know, was the next door neighbor of the Watts family. So he had a security camera on his house, which also captured the Watts' house. Now, I don't think he was trying to intentionally film the Watts' house. I think it just so happened that his camera had sort of a 360 view, and it also captured not only his driveway, but also the Watts' driveway. Now, I should say that if you watch this driveway footage, which you probably have already, you'll notice there's a large blue car. I think it's a truck or a car. I don't know what, but a large blue car in Nate's driveway. So it really obscures Chris's driveway. So it obscures the Watts' driveway. So you see part of their driveway, you see part of Chris's car, but you don't see the full thing. But you see a good portion of it. So famously, there's been that thing about Bella being in the driveway in the shadow. And, you know, there's been debate over whether or not that actually was the case. You know, a lot of people have said Bella was still with us in the car ride over to Survey 319. A lot of people have also suggested that perhaps Cece was already gone. And the reason they say that is because Chris barely mentions Cece at all. He does say in the car that they're sort of leaning on each other, but that to me sounds completely absurd. They're just sitting there quietly in the car after Bella witnesses Chris putting Shanann in a sheet and dragging her down the stairs, and she's just going to sit there quietly leaning on her sister? I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I mean, obviously they'd be terrified out of their minds, so maybe that would explain the quiet. But they're small children. It's not like they have a ton of language where they can express themselves. They're going to act out. They're going to act out. They're going to cry. They're going to scream. They're going to show how they feel without necessarily saying how they feel or asking questions about what the hell's going on. So it's really not clear. There is the whole thing about Bella saying, "Daddy, it smells." So this, of course, was incredibly disturbing because you say to yourself, oh my God, I mean, is she referring to, you know, the recently deceased body of Shanann? Is she referring to after a body passes and the evacuation of the bowels? Why is she saying, "Daddy, it smells"? Now, Chris has been known to tell a ton of lies. So this characterization, it's hard to know whether or not this is true or false. But in my mind, logically, it rings true. And the reason why I say that is because that would be an odd thing to make up, because I view Chris as somebody who wants to come across as a nice guy, the same nice guy that he's presented himself to be his entire life, even after being captured. So I don't think that he's going to deviate from that. So if he does say, "Daddy, it smells," quoting his poor daughter, I think that that would be a truism, because it would make him sound bad to say that. So I don't know why he'd make it up. I don't know why he'd manufacture this detail if it wasn't an actual true thing that she had said, which leads me to believe that Bella was indeed alive inside of Chris's car. Now, we can't say that for sure. She could have said that quote inside the house, in which case maybe there was no shadow and she was already gone and he put both of his daughters in the car and they were already gone. Again, these are really graphically, disgustingly horrible details, so I do apologize. And I just want to point out something which I never actually said before. You know, I may sound chirpy and upbeat in this podcast, and it sounds like it's sort of like entertainment in a way, but I just want to say that when I first read about this crime, this tragedy, this story, I cried buckets of tears, and I did many times since then. So I don't really find it funny. I think talking about it and the story is interesting, and sometimes I may laugh a little bit, but the tragedy itself, I mean, it's just terrible. It's so sad for the families, and I have cried many times over these families. I don't even know them, but the story itself is just so awful. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, I just wanted to make that clear. So moving on, there's the whole thing about the driveway footage that Nate Trinistash, the next door neighbors of the Watts family, has, and he wants to be helpful to the investigation. Now, which points to the driveway. So basically, what the police are able to do is they can see the comings and goings. They can see, you know, all night, if anyone came and went from the Watts' house, because the Watts' house is captured on his security footage. So he serves this up. Now, I know that nowadays, you know, everything is recorded. We're all audio and video recorded practically 100% of the time. It's a little bit disturbing when you think about it. But I guess in terms of investigations, it's very useful. It's very helpful. So they can actually view and see what actually happened rather than having to rely on witness testimony. So Nate invites the police over to his house and they go over with Chris. Now at this point, he's not really a suspect. He's not a suspect at this point. I mean, you always blame the dad. You always blame the husband or the person who's right there closest to the situation. But at this point, he's just someone whose family just seems to be missing. So no one's really looking at him sideways just yet. That's just, they will, but not yet. So they have him come over to Nate's house. Nate invites Chris and the officer over to his house. He turns on his TV and he's going to show the security footage from the driveway. So Chris is standing there, and I mentioned this in another podcast episode as well. Okay, so Chris is standing there, and I said this previously, so I'm just going to say it again. I always thought it was kind of hilarious because it almost looks like Chris was trying to stand in front of the TV. Like he's trying to casually use his body as a block so that they can't see what's on the screen. I don't know. If you watch him in this, it's almost hysterical. Like it looks like he's trying to block them from seeing what they're about to see. And I'm sure at this very moment when they're about to watch this footage, Chris is about to shit his pants. I mean, in a major way, okay? Because he realizes he doesn't know what's on that footage. He doesn't know if he's going to see himself just a few hours prior carrying Shanann in a sheet. He doesn't know if they're going to see Bella and Cece in this footage. He doesn't know what the camera has picked up. So he just doesn't know. So he's pretty much like, you know, you can see the beads of sweat on his forehead. Now, people say in the driveway porch interview, the infamous porch interview, that he looks so guilty. I don't know. He didn't particularly look that guilty to me. He just looked like a guy who was talking. He didn't look like he was sweating or nervous. He actually looked surprisingly the opposite to me. But people say, oh, well, that's because he's guilty. I said, oh, well, I don't know. He just looked like a guy. Like, he didn't look like he was panicked. But when he was over at Nate's house, he definitely looked panicked to anyone. To the naked eye would say, this guy is going to have an anxiety attack. He's going to have a panic attack right here in Nate's house. So what does he do? He throws his hands up into the air and he kind of clasps his hands behind his head. And he's just kind of standing there with his hands behind his head, which is a very strange position. I did ask somebody and they said, oh, that's what runners do when they, you know, when they're running long distances and they're trying to catch their breath, they may put their hands over their head to try to catch breath. You know, maybe that's what it was, or maybe it's just like a self-soothing thing. I think it was a subconscious thing, but he was obviously terrified to see what was going to come up on that footage. So they fire it up. And the point of this episode is to talk about what was on that footage, because on the footage, you're not seeing Bella, you're not seeing Cece, you're not seeing shadows, you're not seeing Shanann. What you do see is like 5:30 in the morning, you see Chris in his driveway. It's still dark. The sun has not yet come up, but it does come up eventually. Chris is walking back and forth from his garage out to his car. And you see him walking back and forth. You see him carrying the red gas can, which I talked about in another episode. You see him just like going back and forth. I mean, if you didn't know anything else about this crime, you wouldn't think this looked unusual or suspicious in any way. He just looked like a guy who was packing up his car. Okay. So then you see Nate is going to, he has the remote control and they're all watching the screen intently, including Chris, who's having a heart attack at this moment. And they're watching the screen, and as the video comes up, the strangest thing happens, and everyone has talked about this like constantly. Okay, so the strangest thing comes up on the video. Now, this is security footage from Nate's camera, so I don't know why there's commercials, although there's commercials on everything. So anywhere you can sell commercial advertising space, you're going to do it. That's just how it is. But I didn't realize that on a security footage that that would be true as well, but apparently it is. So you see, as Chris is standing there and they're all waiting to watch the driveway footage, you see a video of a hourglass. You see a beating heart and what looks like a fetus and a beating heart. And then the fetus kind of dies. And as he sees the fetus with the beating heart on the screen, Chris says, oh, she's pregnant as well. Like, so he sees the fetus on the screen and he's immediately reminded of the fact that his wife was indeed 15 weeks pregnant. They said, how far along? He says 15 weeks. Okay, so that reminds him of that. You see this beating heart, you see the fetus, you see the hourglass, and then you see an explosion, and you see oil pour into the cavity of the fetus or the womb or the hourglass, and the whole thing just explodes. Now, I'm probably not describing this right, so forgive me, but that's pretty much the gist of it. So basically, it's a baby that dies, and then it gets covered in oil, and then there's an explosion. Okay, so this, of course, is an advertisement for American Horror Story, The Apocalypse. So if you watched American Horror Story, each season has its own name. In this particular season, it was called The Apocalypse. So this was an ad for the show. And that's what we're seeing. But, you know, it's hard not to notice and recognize the fact that Shanann was pregnant. She did have a fetus, an unborn baby, in her belly, growing in her womb, in her uterus. And that's what was happening at the time. And then because Chris strangled her and she died, the baby died along with her. And then Chris buried Shanann, and then he poured the kids into oil tanks. So basically what you're seeing in this promo, in this ad for American Horror Story, is quite eerily similar to what actually happened. I mean, that's pretty prophetic. The word is not prophetic, because it already took place. It's pretty crazy. I don't know how to characterize it. It's crazy that they're showing this this video, which pretty much lays out exactly what he did. And so many people, including myself, thought, oh my God, was this like from beyond the grave? Was this divine intervention? Was this Shanann sending a signal from the beyond to say, hey, the kids are buried in oil tanks. Come find us. Come find us. I'm telling you what happened. All you have to do is follow the clue. I'm sending this to you. Now, obviously, coincidences happen. It's not unbelievable to believe that it's just a coincidence, you know? I'd say it's a big coincidence. This was an episode of Seinfeld where Jerry said, you have to admit, it's a pretty big coincidence. And I think it was Rava. And she said, there are no big coincidences. It's either a coincidence or it's not a coincidence. There's no level of coincidence. So it was really funny. I mean, I don't know. I think it's a pretty big coincidence, as coincidences do go. I think there are levels of coincidence. And this one was a doozy. I mean, this was insane. So people swear up, down, and sideways that this, of course, was some sort of message from beyond to say, hey, in case you don't know, the kids are buried in oil tanks and the baby died, and this is where the family is. They are no longer with us, and this is a signal that you should pay attention to. Now, I don't know. You know, I can't say for sure. I'm going to say that this is so bizarre. So many people have talked about it. And this, you know, security footage, it's pretty disturbing when you think about it. So they continue watching the, you know, the driveway, and they see what happened. And Chris is just kind of standing there having a, you know, a panic attack and freaking out and nervous. And they don't really see anything so damning on the actual driveway footage. I mean, the most damning thing you see is the video of the American Horror Story Apocalypse, but you don't see anything really damning from where Chris's perspective was that night, that morning. So you don't really see anything. You just see him walking back and forth. It seems surprisingly quite innocent. And they're also looking for cars that may have come, like if there was a kidnapping, maybe a car came up or a car picked up, came and picked the family up and took them away. You know, he said it's just going to capture everything. So they don't really see anything suspicious on this. I think they're kind of disappointed, but they don't see anything very suspicious on this driveway cam footage. So, you know, after they're done watching it, I think Chris probably breathes a sort of sigh of relief. Because he's like, thank God they didn't see what I was doing. Thank God they didn't see what I was up to. So now I can, you know, now I can like go lay down and, you know, just freak the hell out. So after they are done watching the driveway footage, the officer and Nate, they are standing there. Chris is standing there, and they're all getting ready to exit the house. And the officer says, "Okay, just go ahead. I'm just going to get his information," meaning he was just going to get Nate's information. And as I said in another episode, you know, we're just going to talk shit about you right now. So just go away so we can talk about you. That's basically what was going to happen. So they do, so I'm sure that Chris was probably like, "Oh, shit." but whatever. So he's like, "Oh my God, my neighbor is going to rat me out. Oh my God." So Chris leaves the house, and the officer and Nate are standing there talking. And this is where Nate famously said, he's not acting right at all. He's rocking back and forth. Like, I hear them over there screaming at each other late at night. You know, I tell my wife, we're like, what the hell's going on over there? And I should say for the record that Nate actually recanted that one piece of information. He said he never heard them fighting. I don't know why he said that he did. I mean, you know, maybe he's a little bit of a nosy Parker. Maybe he just wants to get in on the action and, you know, talk about the drama. You know, who knows? But yeah, that's interesting. But he did say that Chris was behaving in a way that was out of ordinary. He did also comment how, you know, he was chatting so much and talking so much. And he says, this guy never talks. He's like, the fact he's over here blabbing his mouth, he's like, I don't know, there's something not right. Now the officer does say to Nate, he says, well, you know, imagine you're in this situation and imagine, you know, you yourself are in this stressful situation. And Nate, you know, he says, you know, I know, I hear you. That does make sense. But yeah. Anyway, the point is that this American Horror Story video and this crazy thing about the oil and the baby in the hourglass and all this stuff and the explosion, all of it is just so bizarre. I mean, as I've said so many times, I feel like you could not write a story like this because no one would even believe it. It's just too strange, you know? And I do have to wonder, and I'm not someone who really believes in the occult and believes in crazy phenomena. I think that most things have an explanation. But in this one, I don't know. To me, that just seems like everything else, just nuts. Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for now. Those are my 2 cents for today. Thank you again for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of this. Thanks so much for joining. As I said before, I do have a Facebook discussion group now. If you'd like to join the conversation, it is WhatsApp 2021. That's WhatsApp 2021. Join the conversation and we can talk a little bit more about it. All right. Thanks again. Have an awesome day. Take care.